Job, beautifully done. Thank you so much for that. You'll find your text tonight in Psalm chapter number 21. We're going to continue our study through the book of Psalms. The last time we were in Psalms was May the 24th. And so it's been a few weeks and months since we've been, but we're picking up back our study. Pastor preached the last message in Psalm 20, and it was entitled Getting Work Done. And it was all about the children of Israel praying on behalf of David and the mighty men that were headed out to war. And Psalm 20 and 21 go hand in hand. And so I'm looking forward to showing you those comparisons tonight. But we'll read the entire Psalm 21, if you don't mind standing, if you're willing and able to, out of respect for the reading of God's Word. And we'll read all of Psalm 21, and we'll get into the message. The Bible says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. And in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and thou hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So we will sing and praise thy power." Let's pray. And then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity that I have to preach tonight. I pray that the message would be a help to each individual that's here. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you fill me with your Spirit and help me. I need you. And that's all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And so before we get into it, I want to apologize to Coach Beeson, because it seems like every time he comes, our pastor's not here. And so I know this is 2 years in a row he's had to come and listen to me preach. So I just wanted to publicly apologize to him. I think he's probably going to decline the invitation next year, because he's like, "Pastor Delaney's not going to be there for that service. I'm going to have to listen to Brother Michael again." And so, but I'm very thankful that he's with us tonight. And so my question for you to start off my message is, what do you think when you hear the word victory? What do you think of when you hear the word victory? Now, there's some people in here tonight that are probably more spiritual than myself who would say, when I hear victory, I think of victory or in Jesus. Or I think of the song V is for Victory, for those of you who go to Victory Club or on Saturday visitation. Maybe you think of something spiritual in regards to that. But when I hear victory, I think of sports. I think of a competition. Sometimes I think of my home church growing up as well. I think of Victory Baptist Church. And when people would ask where I went to church, I would say, I go to Victory. And so sometimes it makes me think of that. It's just like we do with First Baptist. Our church is First Baptist Church of Long Beach. And when people ask where you go to church, I say, "Hey, I go to First Baptist." I don't normally say First Baptist Church of Long Beach. I condense it down. But normally when I hear victory, I'm automatically thinking of sports. I'm just competitive in nature. Some people told me I'm too competitive and need to take a chill pill sometimes. Brother Raphael, he called me out one time. He's like, "Hey, man, you just need to calm down." And so I'm thankful for friends that can call me out like that when I need it. But I just absolutely hate to lose. I'm not a loser. I'm not. I don't like to lose. I like to win. And Summer Volleyball League has not been very kind to me, because I want to be victorious. And out of 8 teams, we're 7th. And so that's not very good odds right there. But I want my team to win. I want the teams that I root for to win. So that means I want the Dallas Cowboys to win every game that they play. Yeah, go ahead and say it. Half our team may be suspended right now, but that don't matter. You know, we got backups. Yeah, and so I got one person on my side. I mean, all y'all are like Raiders and Rams fans. Like, who are they? And they say, "Raiders." Yeah, exactly. But also, I want the Oklahoma City Thunder to win. Yeah, exactly. Who? And so I want them to win, but we were betrayed. And so now we got Russ. I mean, he wins the MVP, but he can't win us a championship by himself. I also want the Kansas City Royals to win. I'm a Royals fan. I love the Royals, and so I want them to win. I also want the Dodgers to win unless they're playing the Royals. And so I like the Dodgers and I like the Royals. But lastly, most of you know which one's coming next. I want the Ohio State University Buckeyes to win every game that they play. And we're coming out preseason number two, and I know we're going to get to that number one spot because it ain't going to be Bama this year. But I want my team to experience victory. Whether I'm playing or I'm watching my team, I want them to experience victory. You know what else I want to experience victory in? The Christian life. I want to experience real victory in my everyday Christian walk with God. But I also want to experience victory in the battles that I face, which is why I've chosen the word victory to describe Psalm 21. And so Psalm 21 is exactly that. It's a psalm of victory. It's filled with rejoicing. It's filled with praise over the victory that King David and the children of Israel had just experienced through the Lord. And we'll find that the psalm, as we go through it, it has a natural breakdown regarding three different aspects of victory. And before we look at those 3 points, as they're our main focal point of the message tonight, we need to get a little bit of background of what's been happening in this passage. But like I said, Psalm 21, it's a praise hymn. That would have been used by David and the nation of Israel after they experienced a victory, specifically after they experienced the victory that happened in Psalm 20. Psalm 20 would be labeled the prayer before the battle, before they go in, and then Psalm 21 would be labeled the praise after the battle. And so they had been praying, the children of Israel, they had been praying for specific blessings, and God had come through for them in a miraculous way. And Psalm 20 is all about the children of God petitioning God on behalf of their king. They're praying for King David and the men of war as they're headed out to battle. If you don't remember this message, I would encourage you to check out our podcast and go back and listen to Pastor's message. It was called Getting Work Done, and he goes into more detail about that. But the people are singing Psalm 20. They're not headed out to battle, the people that are saying this prayer and singing this hymn. But they're using this psalm as a prayer on behalf of their king and the men of war. And they're saying, King David, we understand that we can't go out to battle, but we can pray for you, and that's what we're going to do. And when the battle begins, know that we are right there beside you in prayer. That's what's happening in Psalm chapter 20. And then it shifts gears into 21. The battle's taken place, the victory's been won, and now it's all about praising God for the work that he's done. I absolutely love how Psalm 21 begins, how it opens and closes. As the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly he shall rejoice. Takes zero credit to themselves for what just happened. They give all the credit to God. And in verse 13, the psalm ends with, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So we will sing and praise thy power." And once again, they're showing absolute, taking no credit for themselves of what happened. And they're giving all the praise to God. It opens with praise and it ends with praise. And it deals with God's strength. But you have to realize what happened in that little white space between Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. And what happened is answered prayer. That is what happened between Psalm 20 and 21. God answers prayer, and he answered their prayers, and it gives us an amazing example to follow, because answered prayer in our lives ought to be acknowledged with fervent praise. Anytime God comes through for us in a big way and he answers those prayers, those petitions that we send up to him, when he answers, though, we ought to be fervent in praising him and adoring him and thanking for what he just did. And I feel like in our Christian life, that's where we fail oftentimes. We pray and we ask God to do something and he comes through for us and we tell other people, but we wind up forgetting to thank God who came through for us. We need to, when our answered prayers, when God answers our prayers, we ought to acknowledge that with fervent praise, thanking him for what he's doing. So zeroing this back in regards to victory, verses 1 through 7 is looking back and celebrating those past victories that God has done. So I want to read verses 1 through 7 to you again. It says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Verse 2, thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. You see, the people in David address the Lord, and they thank him for what he did for them in answer to their prayers. So compare some verses real quick with me. Compare verse 1 with verse 5. It says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." Psalm 21, verse 5. "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." Now compare verse 2 of 21 to verse 4 of chapter 20. It says, "Thou hast given him his heart's desires, and thou hast not withholden the request of his lips." Psalm 20, verse 4, "Grant thee according to thine heart and fulfill all thy counsel." Psalm 21, 5, "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." Chapter 20, verse 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. In the name of God of Jacob, defend thee." And these verses, they go hand in hand as you compare them. And if you look through the word salvation that you find in verses 1 and 5, translated means deliverance or victory. And so then you have verse 4 where it says, "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for an ever and ever." And so we learn in this verse that David actually asked God in regards to Psalm 20 to spare his life, and the Lord answered that prayer. Look with me at verse 2. It says, "Thou hast given him the his heart's desires, and thou hast not withholden the request of his lips." And God is in the business of giving victory to those who ask for it. That's what God is in the business for. And verse number 3 is so encouraging when it says, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of gold upon his head." The word here, prevent, it means to see it beforehand. And it gives the idea that the Lord is already there, and he's leading the way into battle, and he's leading you straight to victory, that he's gone and he's prepared the way. And before you ever get there, his presence is there to help you. And that very same God that went before King David thousands of years ago is the same God that goes before his obedient children today. And he's there leading the way for you, and he's there seeing it beforehand. He knows the battles that you're about to face. He can see the storm before it ever arise, and he's there to help you. Psalm 48, verse 14, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Aren't you thankful for that? That God is there with us every step of the way, and he already knows what you're going to face before you even face it? That's encouraging. That's helpful. That can give you a peace that helps you pass all understanding. You see, this psalm is meant to be joyful because there's something to rejoice about. And so I want to ask you a couple questions. This point is looking back and celebrating past victories. So what are some battles that you have faced and you sought the face of God and you begged for him to work in your life and you begged to feel his presence and he answered your prayers and he gave you the victory that you have been needing? Think back to those past victories. What are some of those events in your life? I'm sure some people could have more than others, but you could tell me some stories of how God showed up big in your life. I'm pretty sure that many of us has faced some tough financial battles before. And we got on our knees before God and we begged him to help us. And those financial battles where the bills were adding up and the bills were due and you had to choose between paying this bill or putting groceries on the table. That's a tough battle to be in. But let me ask you, did you get through it? If you did, how? Because God is the one who gives the victory. What about maybe a family battle that you were facing? Maybe you had a wayward child. Did God give you the victory? Or are you still in the battle? What about a sin battle that you've been facing and you faced in the past? Let me encourage you. Victory will only come from one place. Victory is not going to be found in yourself. Victory is only going to come from God. You can't focus on yourself when you're in the midst of the battle. You have to realize that God is right there alongside of you and His power is real. And we talk about that on the second point in just a few minutes, but you have to trust in Him and you have to trust in His power. And everyone, whenever a victory takes place, everyone would like to know the secret to victory. It's true in sports. Think about it. Everybody wants to know why Nick Saban and Alabama beats everybody. I mean, for those of you who don't care about college football, that may be irrelevant for you, but it's the perfect illustration if you like college football. And so everybody's like, how does this guy keep winning? I'm sure Coach Beeson's looked at teams before, and he's like, how do they keep winning? What are they doing? He studies film. He tries to figure out what's their secret to victory. I can't help but think in the spiritual realm of the Philistines and how they long to find out the secret to Samson's great strength, and they found it out because he was weak when it came to women, and Delilah soon was able to get the secret from him. But the secrets to the strength that is talked about in Psalm 21 is an open secret. It's God's strength, and it's by that strength we can experience victory in our lives. I love verses 4 and 5. It says, He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty thou hast laid upon him. Why is this? It's because of the victory of salvation. And I can remember the day when I was dead in my sins and I was dead in my trespasses and I had no hope of ever experiencing real victory outside of Jesus Christ. And I called on God and I asked God for life and He gave me life. And that victory would have not been possible if it had not been for Jesus Christ leaving His throne in heaven and coming to earth and living for 33 years and walking a perfect and sinless life and then suffering and dying on the cross and being crucified with my sins being laid upon Him. And He conquered death, He conquered hell, and He conquered the grave. And Jesus had victory over that. And now through His victory, I can have victory in my life through Him. And it's because of the victory of salvation. In verse 6, you find that God's presence gives joy. It says, For thou hast made him most blessed forever, and thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. To think, you, these are people talking about David, and they're saying, when David goes in your presence, his countenance changes. You can see the joy come to his life. And thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. So God's presence, it gives us joy, it gives us peace. But you can see that David had a trust in his God. Verse 7 says, For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. You can see David trusting in Almighty God. He had placed his trust in God. He had placed his trust in God's character. He had placed his trust in God's promises. And he trusts in the one who redeems the world, and he trusts in the one who rules the world. So what did David have to worry about? Absolutely nothing. Because God was in control. So you can look back and you can celebrate these past victories in verses 1 through 7. And think back. What are those battles that I faced where God gave me a big spiritual victory? Verses 8 through 12, it shifts. And it changes from looking back to past victories, but it then shifts to looking forward to future victories. Verses 8 through 12, it reads, Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. And the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath and shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy among the earth and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them. You can sense here at the beginning in verse 8 of the confidence in David and the people. They have a confidence in God, and the people affirm their faith as they said those words. They're saying, we trust in God. This is how much we trust in you. But the emphasis has shifted now. It's shifted from rejoicing over those present victories and those past victories to now looking forward to the future victories that God was going to give them because of their faith in God. Verse 8, it says the phrase, the find out, it means to dispose of. And it means the Lord is going to dispose of those enemies. And at thy right hand, it says, the right hand is normally a symbol of God's strength and power. But this verse shows his right hand is actively working on behalf of those people. And that's an encouraging thought to know that God's hand is at work in our lives and He's working on our behalf and He goes before us, but also He's doing a work. He's presently working, but God's going to take care of our enemies as well. In verse 9, if you read that as a verse as it stands alone, this is a very intense verse. It says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. And the Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall devour them." Let's talk about His enemies here, and the only thing pleasant about this verse is it's talking about doing it to our enemies and not us. And just as fire devours whatever it comes into contact with, so the Lord was going to devour David's enemy as a cook burns fuel in an oven. That's what He's saying in that verse. Malachi 4:1, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch." That doesn't seem like a very pleasant future to the wicked to me. But this, like I said, the psalmist meant to be encouraging because God's talking about doing this to David's enemies and not David. As you look at verses 11 and 12, you're going to find, as you continue to study the life of David while he was king, that God did give him many victories, and he expanded the borders of Israel. And yes, nations were going to get mad, and they were going to rise up against David, but David would still win the battle because God was on his side. But there's one thing that I find really interesting in verses 8 through 12. It's that if you have to look forward to future victories, that means you have to experience a battle to get those victories. To experience victory, there has to be a battle. And David and the nation of Israel were looking forward to those battles because God promises to work on their behalf. And David didn't need to fear because he had God on his side and God promised that he would protect him and help him. And with every future spiritual battle you face, you will have the opportunity to experience spiritual victory. With every battle that comes your way, you have an opportunity to see God work mightily on your behalf. And you will be able to testify that to others. And God, and people are going to be able to see God's working in your life. And so you can look forward to those future spiritual victories. And you can look forward to those battles. Because God is with you every step of the way. And the psalm comes to a conclusion with verse number 13. So you have looking back on the past victories, looking forward to the future victories, and it ends with one verse. "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing praise, and so we will sing and praise thy power." The last thing is looking up and praising the one who gives you the victory. Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 end in very similar ways. They both end with direct statements being addressed to the Lord. Psalm 20 ends with the people of Israel asking God to let David feel their prayers when he was in battle. Flip back, unless it's on the same page. For me, it's flipping back. It says, "Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." We want David to be able to feel our prayers when he is in the heat of that battle. They are directly asking God to do that. And then Psalm 21 ends with lifting God's name higher than any other name in praise. They're saying, "God, be exalted in your strength." Not our strength, but your strength. "And we will sing and we will praise your power." And David, he fought many battles. He won many victories, not to exalt himself, but rather to magnify the Lord, and his people knew this. You can trace this truth all the way back to when David was just a shepherd boy, before he ever fought David and Goliath. And David, that shepherd boy, he goes to take some food to his brothers in battle, and his brothers accuse him of only coming to see the battle out of the naughtiness of his heart, that he was being selfish, that he only wanted to go see what was in the battle, that he wasn't bringing the food to them to help them or because his dad had told him to, but rather he just wanted to see the battle. And you pick up the story there, and if everybody's got your Bible, if you'll flip with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, And in verse 29, you pick up the story after his brothers, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant keep his father's sheep. That's what I do. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And he gets this blessing from Saul to go out, and Saul tries to put his armor on him. But when David puts the armor and he grabs the sword and he puts the helmet on, it's too heavy and he can't move with it because he hadn't proven it. He wasn't strong enough to carry it. So he takes the armor off and he asks Saul, "Can I just go with my sling?" Saul says, "Pretty much go on." So he goes, he takes his sling, he goes get some smooth stones, and he goes out to meet Goliath in the valley. And you pick up in verse 45, after the Philistine mocks him and saying, "Am I a dog that they send you to me?" He pretty much says, "I'm going to kill you, David, right now." And then David says this, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine hand from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth." Get this. "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with his sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands." Get this. The battle, it was never about David. It was always about God. It's never about you. It's always about God. When we faced some tough battles in this life, and guess what? You're going to face more. But it's never about you. It is always about Him. We don't go through battles so that we can exalt ourselves and tell everyone what we went through and how we came out victorious. No. Sometimes it seems like people like to brag about their struggles and how they overcame them, like it's some sort of competition to see who's had it worst and how they overcame it. No, when we go through battles and experience God's victory, we should exalt Him and show His power to those around us. It's not about you. It is always about God. Every battle you face, it's not about you. It's about God and how He will show Himself mightily on your behalf. So victory over sin? Hey, that's not your victory. That's God's victory. Victory over drug addiction? Hey, that's not your victory. That's God's victory. Victory over impure thoughts? That's not your victory. That is God's victory. Victory over habitual lying? That's not your victory. It's God's victory. You've got to remember, it's not about you, but rather it's about God. It's not about you. It's about God. So as we come to a conclusion tonight, I just want to ask you a couple questions before I turn it over to Brother Raphael and he comes and gives an invitation. Number one, do you have any past victories that you can look back on and celebrate? Right now, in the quietness of your seat, and you think back to a battle that you faced, and God came through for you, and you can celebrate that. Question number two. What past victories have taken place in your life that you need to go back to and praise God for? What has He accomplished in your life that you forgot to thank Him for and praise Him for. Number three, isn't it comforting to know that God is already ahead of us in our next battle? That whatever difficulty comes, whatever trials comes, God is already ahead of us. I couldn't help but think, as I was studying this morning for this message, I got a text message from Pastor yesterday asking to pray for our missionaries, Mandy and Lynn, the Callison family, or Callinison family. And I prayed for him, and I texted Brother Fletcher this morning because I knew he would have the information. I texted him, how is he doing? Any update? And he said they didn't expect him to make it through the night, and but he survived the night, but he's still in a coma. And I got that text message, and I was just studying, and I couldn't help but being overcome with emotion that what that family is going through right now, God was already ahead of them. God already knew what was going to happen. He knew that in less than an hour of Brother Fletcher texting me that he was going to pass away. God knew that. And God can comfort their hearts. And like I said at the beginning of the message, God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we have to trust that God knows what's best. And we can trust in that because He said He will go before us. I will be there for you. Go back with me to Psalm 21. He says, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness." I was before you. I was ahead of you before you ever got there. I knew what was going to happen. So isn't it comforting to know that God is already with us whenever we face a difficulty? My last question. Do you need to just have some praise time with God? Maybe it's time we got alone in our prayer closet, wherever we get alone with God, and not ask for anything, but rather just spend some time thanking Him and praising Him for all the victories He's accomplished in our life. Wouldn't it be good to do that tonight when the invitation comes to come fill this altar and just thank God for all the victories He's accomplished through Him? And you can look back on those victories, but you can look forward to God showing up in your life in a real and big way in those future battles and in those future victories. But always remember, it's not about you, it's about God. And when He gives you the victory, you look up and you praise Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this evening, and thank You for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts in this invitation time. And Lord, we ask all in Jesus' name.